Today is World Menstrual Hygiene Day, and this day is aimed at sensitizing and highlighting the importance of good menstrual hygiene. And so, management across the world.
In Africa, the topic of menstruation is surrounded by many challenges. Among them, taboos and cultural norms. This makes it difficult for open discussions on the matter, thereby creating limited opportunities for countering the said challenges.
Now, to give a South Sudanese perspective on the importance of this day, we are joined by the initiative coordinator of Men for Women. This is Data Emmanuel Gordon. Data also is comfortable being called a feminist, yes?
Yeah.
You're welcome to Radio Miraya.
Thank you.
All right. Now, what is menstrual hygiene? Let's start with just understanding what is menstrual hygiene.
Menstrual hygiene is the aspect of how menstruating women and girls and other people who menstruate make sure that they keep their hygiene when they are menstruating. Of course, using all the menstrual products available, talking about tampons, menstrual cups, talking about the menstrual pants and reusable as well as disposable pads, and among others. So that is an aspect of an hygiene, looking at water and among others. So that is menstrual hygiene.
Okay, so why is it important to celebrate this day or mark this day, which is Menstrual Hygiene Day?
First of all, I'm proud to say that my mother menstruated and then missed her period, mm-hmm. and then resulted into me. Mm-hmm. And menstruation is a normal biological body process in a woman's body. And we are all a product of a missed period. That is something that we all are proud of. And it's sad that some of our cultures and traditions, or how society perceives menstruation as well as religion, looks at it as either it is unclean, it is unhygienic, you're not holy. For example, religious-wise, sometimes you're not supposed to go to some prayer places, which is sad. And yet it is just like for us men, it is like wet dreams. So it's a natural biological body process in a woman's body. Yeah. So if a woman does not menstruate, that means she has high chances of not producing. That is another sign of, I will say, infertility. So it's a normal thing that happens. Much as in other women, there is so much cramps, or I will say the menstrual pains, but still it happens that we have to celebrate menstrual hygiene to create conversations, to make sure that other people get to know that it's a normal thing that women can also talk about.
Yes, Gordon, what's the status of the menstrual health management in the country?
Okay, in South Sudan, to be very honest, is that I don't want to say we are a young country, but I just want to say that due to a lot of cultures and traditions, and due to the limited funding on menstrual health, and looking at the fact that most of the activities are donor-driven, not government-driven, government only comes in terms of issues of policies and strategies, you find that there is so much that really needs to be done. For example, still we do not have a menstrual health policy in the country. Much as we've, together with the partners and the government, we are gearing towards the launch of the national guidelines on menstrual health management, as well as the guidelines on dignity kits, and among other things, together with the formation of the National Coalition on Menstrual Health Management in South Sudan. So these are some strides that have been done, but again, I must point out that there has been less research on menstrual health, looking at how many women and girls are menstruating in South Sudan, how many are having access to menstrual products, and how many are not having access to menstrual products. So these are some of the researches and questions that sometimes we are not able to answer because you have not done a countrywide research to be able to understand and be able now to look into how do we program issues of menstrual health.
Yes, apart from this loan challenge that you have just stressed, mm-hmm. what are the challenges that are being faced by adolescent girls and even young women in menstrual health management?
I just want to say menstruation is seen as a women issue. And it's only women to discuss about it. And it's sad that sometimes even most mothers do not speak to their daughters about menstruation. And secondly is that in many cultures, when a girl starts to menstruate, people start to celebrate, she's pronounced a woman, and then you find the booking part of it comes in and she's married off, which is extremely sad.
And
that is something that comes in. And the other thing is that we have to transition from menstrual hygiene to menstrual health, because when you talk about menstrual health, there are moments where someone is undergoing a lot of pain because of menstruation, and that doesn't require hygiene. It requires someone to visit maybe a gynecologist and be able to undergo some tests and find out what is really happening.
Yes.
Because some of these things happens in many circumstances. But that is something that is really happening. And because of menstrual, the information gap between parents and their children, teachers and their pupils and students, you find that a girl can start to menstruate and she will not get to understand that, and there is a lot of stigma that comes in handy. And sometimes you find that as she starts to menstruate, maybe before she starts to menstruate, of course there is the ovulation period where the egg is released from the ovary through the fallopian tube then to the uterus. And during the ovulation period, if this girl has unprotected sex, definitely she will conceive.
Yeah.
And we've had these scenarios where I remember in Uganda, a 9-year-old got pregnant. And because she wasn't prepared for it. Like, she doesn't know that I am going to be menstruating and this is how I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And given these challenges, how are you engaging to these girls and women to help them ease these challenges, but also the authorities that need to engage them, like the parents and the teachers, like you said, or their guardians?
Okay, thank you. Maybe before I get to that, there is also one challenge, of course, when you talk about products of menstrual health, accessibility of these products, affordability of these products are another issue. And that alone comes in with the issue of tax exemption, which is not yet effected in the country, and it makes products to be extremely expensive. And for that matter, we are engaging the Minister of General Education and Instructions to be able to come up with, together with other line ministries, to come up with a position paper on why it's important for us to be able to exempt taxes on sanitary products.
Yes, yes.
So that is an engagement that we've already picked up with the Minister of Gender, Child and Social Welfare, engaging the Minister of General Education and Instructions to make sure that. Apart from that, of course, we are having as Men for Women, we have about 58 male champions that are trained on menstrual health and sexual gender-based violence, because we want them to also be able to move out and also create conversations and break these conversations around menstruation.
Yes.
We want to create an environment where a girl feels free to approach the father or even a male teacher in school to be able to pick menstrual products or ask for menstrual products. So these are something that we do. We also we are launching out what we call the MHM Lab. The MHM Lab is a session where it takes you through issues of puberty, issues of how to make the beads, bangles for awareness raising, as well as pads and all those stuff. So it will be a men-led process to make sure that we reach that. And we are grateful to UNFPA that we are going to have 5 MHM labs in South Sudan. We'll distribute accordingly. We are launching what we call the period game, where people play. And it's more of reproductive health, menstrual health, specific, all those stuff. And we have the parts for birthdays. That if you have a birthday, you're my friend, I have to give you pads as a birthday gift. That alone is to create conversations around menstruation. So these are a few things that we try to do. But of course, we are also engaging with other stakeholders within and outside, and of course, fronting our needs. For example, of recent. We just concluded the regional symposium on menstrual health management, which was hosted in South Africa, but it was virtually, where I had to make a presentation on Men for Women. And we also emphasized on the need of supporting the in-country national coalition on menstrual health management.
Okay. Yeah. How, apart from you attending this symposium, how else was South Sudan represented?
I must say, The South Sudan has been represented in many ways in terms of some activities and researches which were done within South Sudan and even in the refugee settlements in Uganda. For example, during day one, there was a presentation which was done, and one of the highlights which was brought out was an intervention in the refugee camp in Rhino Camp in Uganda. And then there is one national organization that is doing an a project around amplifying change, mm-hmm. and the Rescue Initiative, thank God I remembered, the Rescue Initiative, their work has also been highlighted by the donor community on how important it was for them also to be able to create a network of male champions and also engage men and also look at engaging the religious leaders as well as traditional leaders, which was so important. And that alone really put South Sudan also on the map that, yes, much as there is issues of the humanitarian crisis and all the stuff, there are still steps that the government and the partners together with all the stakeholders are taking to make sure that we also reach the zero stigma, retain girls in school and be able to achieve the gender equality.
Sorry, I have one question that I want to ask you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, as a man championing this whole conversation on menstrual hygiene, menstrual health, how is the reception when you go to places and you're talking about this? How is the reception, given the fact that you mentioned earlier that this has been said to be a woman problem?
Yeah. First of all, even before the reception itself, I move either in my car or in my bag with pads. I move with like emergency contraceptive pills and condoms. Mm-hmm. Yes, they know me from the other part as Mr. Condomized, but also on the other part, I make sure that I move with pads. And in many occasions, I've had female friends who approach me for pads because they were in an emergency situation and mm-hmm. they needed pads, and they just approach me and I tell them, pick, go, okay. And they go and change. So it makes me proud that, like, we now have this open conversation with the ladies, and there are others who go through their cramps and they will call in. Now, on other part of it is that, yes, when we started the Men for Women Initiative, there were other women and even men, but women were like, look, this is not your issue. This is our issue. Why are you in? And I'm like, but it is a natural thing that is happening. It's not a sickness. I am a product of it. Why do you have to push me away? And then after engagement, they got to understand the importance of men being involved in menstruation. And for that matter, if every event I go to, sometimes they will recognize me from the condomized point of view or from the Men for Women point of view.
And Nata, final, what's your message to the public on this Menstrual Health Day?
I think it's very important. Comprehensive sexuality education was launched out, and I remember some teachers in some schools were trained, and together with some parents. And I would love to encourage each and everyone. One is that let's start to have conversations with our daughters and our sons as early as possible in terms of their body changes. Let them get to understand what body changes they are going to have and how they will have to manage in terms of menstruation for girls, and for boys, how they will help their sisters or any female friend to be able to manage their periods. And in terms of... also, the other aspect is that let's start to plan, because I know in South Sudan, for example, most of us, most families, men are the ones, the breadwinners. So as we plan for maybe how many kilos of meat, how many kilos of flour and all those stuff, let's also plan how many packets of sanitary products we need to be able to give to our wives, yes. to our daughters, yes. to any neighbor that really needs it. So it's important that we start to do that. And now, finally, I would love to encourage the government, because they made the commitments during the Nairobi Summit on ISPD on supplying school-going girls with menstrual hygiene products, for example, pads, for free. So I'm putting this because it's in 2023, that's when they will start, but let's start the preparations now. Let's start in the next budgeting processes, how we should plan for a budget that is allocated for menstrual products. That is very important, and that we will definitely be able to reduce stigma and help us achieve gender equality.
Wow. Thank you, Gordon, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And when that game is ready, please make sure you bring, so that even us here at Mirai Breakfast, we can play it, the period game.
Exactly. Yeah, we are ordering it, and we'll definitely be able to bring it. And a happy Menstrual Hygiene Day to all menstruating women and girls.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Yeah.